Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Wonder Woman number 166, cover date November 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito, edited by Robert Kaniger, featuring The Sinister Scheme of Egg Foo the Fifth, and Once a Wonder Woman, written by Robert Kaniger, art by Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go! Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor investigate the disappearance of an American submarine. While flying over the ocean where it disappeared, Wonder Woman's plane is fired upon by an enemy freighter. Meanwhile, Diana Prince is jealous of her other identity as Wonder Woman. Steve Trevor still only has eyes for her rival identity. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
The day was bright, the air was sweet, the smell of honeysuckle swept him off his feet. He tried to sing, but couldn't squeak. In fact, he loved her so he couldn't even speak.
Oh, buzz, 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 went the buzzer. Pop, 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 went the wheels. Stop, stop, went my heartstrings. As she started to leave, I took hold of her sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, she stayed on with me. And it was grandest to stand with her hand holding mine to the end of a line.
Do excuse the barking of the dog in the background. We've just had an important Sunday delivery from Amazon.
My goodness, I didn't know that they delivered on Sundays like that.
Yes, they hire special people just only to deliver on Sundays.
Well, she's driving around a sedan and she's wearing a smock, an Amazon smock.
I can't see anything. I'm in a bad angle.
You are in a bad angle.
I can only...
She's delivering across the street to Ron and his wife.
Oh, what did they order? I can only see our bucolic park-like neighborhood from my vantage point.
We are so fortunate to have found this house when we did, at the price we did.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God. Well, anyway.
Where was I?
We were talking about my weekend.
Yes.
No, we weren't, but I forgot to tell you something really funny.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you
want
to hear something funny?
Yes, please.
So, what did we do on Friday night?
We watched television.
Mm-hmm.
We made dinner.
What did we have for dinner on Friday night? Do you remember? Because we had game hens last night.
We had game hens last night.
Yeah.
Friday, I don't...
You know,
I could
don't
not tell you.
Oh, wait. Was it tater tots and chicken nuggets?
Yes, it was chicken nugget salad.
Salad, that's right. And it wasn't. It was actually breaded chicken thighs that we did.
No, that was Thursday.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
My gosh.
Oh, I know what you did.
What?
Did you make that fantastic Asian dish?
Oh, little stir-fry tofu,
yes,
stir-fry. Yes, health,
that
health,
was health. Health, health, health. We didn't have any carbs with that, did we?
No.
No, other than the sauce.
Sauce, and we had plant-based tuna rolls.
It was delicious.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so we just stayed home because we both had it was the first week of teaching, I had a really busy week, of course.
Sure.
So yesterday, I We did something in the morning. What did we do in the morning? Oh, you took Junebug to the vet. And yes. I cleaned out the garage and did a run to the county landfill. And yes. took some things and cleaned out the garage. And then
we went for the exercise on the C&O Canal.
Yes, we had a lovely afternoon. And then I took a very brief nap. And then I went to church last night and sang. I didn't tell you this story because I wanted to save it for the podcast.
Oh, well, do tell.
Well. I came to church with all my music ready to go, right? Mm-hmm, and of course, mm-hmm. we had a baptism. And the child's name was Andromeda.
No, it wasn't.
It was, I swear to God. And she had four names or something like, it was like Andromeda Peach Mango Pie Pit or something like that.
Is it know. That couple that looks like Thor?
No, no, okay. no. All their children have normal names.
Okay.
But he does look like Thor.
Yeah.
Really nice people, but it was different people. I don't know. I don't even know these people, but their child's name was Andromeda something something Peach Pit Pie Thor. But I don't even know what it. I mean, it was just like a bizarre name, right?
Are they from the planet Daxam?
Listen,
I'm listening.
So, of course, our pastor has not been at the church very long. You know, sure. he came during the pandemic, so I don't really know what he's going to do during the baptism. The previous pastor had been doing it for so many years. It was like clockwork. I knew exactly what to do.
Sure.
And as cantor. I have things that I have to do as part of the service. So, of course, since I was gone for nearly a year and came back to the church, someone removed the cantor binder, which has all of the unusual special music in it, including the Litany of the Saints.
No.
You do the Litany of the Saints. We probably don't have any papist listeners. But it's this thing where you invoke the saints to pray. Right?
Yes.
And really, it's just filler. It's to get the priest and the family from one side of the church to the font to do the baptism.
Sure.
Well, as luck would have it, my friend leans over to me and she goes, go to the Litany of Saints. I go, I don't want it. It's not here. She goes, it's on page 3 or 3, whatever. It's Easter Vigil, right? So I open up the Breaking Bread book, is what it's called, the name of the book. It's there, but it's a completely weird, different thing. It's missing things, right? So it goes like this. So I'm the cantor. I go, Lord, have mercy. And I gesture and I sing again, Lord, have mercy. So they do this thing when I sing, Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then I invoke the name of the saints and they go, pray for us.
Sure. Right?
I'm scanning ahead. I'm watching the priest and the family move around. I know I got to time it to where they get to the end there. We get to the very, oh, holy men and women, pray for us. Then there's something that comes to close it out, only it's not in the book.
Just say amen. Nobody knows.
But you know me, I'm a creature of habit. And so it goes, you're supposed to, I make this shit up. I go, Christ hear us, which is what that is one of the things. But then there's another line that comes after that, and I go, Christ hear us. Sing with me.
Christ hear us.
Christ please hear us.
Christ please hear us.
I almost lose my shit at the where I'm standing, because I'm like, it's supposed to be something else. But it's not in the book. I can't remember. Oh, my God.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Later on in the service, there's a new hymn, which I've looked at, whatever. But there's another substitute hymn because it's a baptism, and the family wanted this hymn. So it's like it's some Irish tune that they set to some crazy Catholic papist words, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my dear friend takes it at such a fast pace that I can't get the words out. And I start, I'm falling with my finger trying to get the words out. They're not coming out all right. And then the final thing is, during the communion hymn, I'm singing a special song. And I get this overwhelming urge to sneeze.
Oh,
so I had to stand back from the microphone and hold my nose so I don't sneeze. Then I finish the song. I'm like, I'm out for half a line. I come back. I grab a tissue, quickly go to the side and blow my nose. Flip my tissue in my pocket, and there's a lady standing for me to take communion. It was just like a cavalcade, clown cavalcade of craziness. And thank God it was a Saturday 5:30 because hardly anyone was there.
You could practically write a book about that.
Oh, it was so funny. But I love that I made that up. And I sent a text to my friend this morning. I said, I'm still making myself laugh over improvising the end of that Litany of the Saints. Oh, it was silly.
Well, you need to do now is memorize it and just have a list of saints you can rattle off
in an emergency. As I was looking ahead and scanning that I didn't have it, I almost made up saints' names.
Saint Barbara, who cut her breasts off and carried them around on a plate.
Pray for us. Yes.
That's true. You don't even need to make it up. Yeah. Just get real saints.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. And it was delightful.
Listener, you should know that Dr. Husband's church has the baptismal font in the middle of the floor. It's a pool.
It's a pool.
A wading pool in the middle of the floor.
I mean, and you can't do laps in it, but it's pretty big. It's
pretty big. And in fact, the entire church area is shaped like
a womb.
A Georgia O'Keeffe painting, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, we all look at each other in the church. Yes.
With the pool in the center.
Someone fell into that. I did.
I remember I was there.
Yeah, the woman was talking to somebody else and she was backing up and back up. She was a guest in the church.
Yes.
She
didn't know. No idea.
That woman just fell right down into that pool.
You know who doesn't have to worry about going to church?
Wonder Woman.
Because she's not a Christian, is she? She's a pagan.
Yeah. But it's okay, we love her anyway.
You know what I learned the other day?
What?
You know where the word barbarian comes from?
I do, only because you told me, and I laughed when you told me.
The Greeks made it up, because the Greeks thought anyone who didn't speak Greek was a barbarian, because they went, ba 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 ba.
Oh.
Wonder Woman, number 166. The mighty Amazon battles the sinister schemes of the tireless Egfu the Fifth. Not the first, not the second.
The fifth.
The fifth.
Yeah.
Plus, a second great feature. You may recall, Rob, mm-hmm. when the Metal Men faced Dr. Yes, mm-hmm. who was a cousin of Egfu.
Okay.
He was also a giant egg, but he created a robot mm-hmm. to menace the Metal Men, and they had to make a gigantic metal birthday cake for the robot to distract him.
Oh, my God.
You don't remember that?
Who writes this shit?
Robert Kaniger. That's who.
Oh, my
God.
Did Robert Kaniger write this issue? Oh, my God. Of course. Of course. Can I just say, I was pissed when I read this issue.
Why?
Pissed.
Why?
Oh, for God's sake. Wonder Woman is possibly the second strongest superhero in the DC universe.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Not possibly.
Well, she can't kick Superman's ass. Superman is...
I bet she could if she used her nails.
Okay. Let's just say she is this... I would say the second strongest only behind Superman, but maybe she could hold her own with Superman.
Sure she could.
Okay, right? These fucking writers... Make her
not
look
these.
So,
this Robert Kaniger. Kaniger
makes her look so weak, so flawed, so sexistly, just infantilized.
Right.
Yes, it drives me insane. And you tell me that we're in the 1960s. This is supposed to be set in the 1960s.
Yes.
And this woman is acting like some post World War II. Housewife who's been thrown back in the kitchen from her work of riveting and making a living while her husband was at war. This infuriates me.
Wonder Woman, as you may remember, was created by William Moulton Marston in 1941.
Yes.
And it's been long rumored. I don't know if this has ever been proven or not, but it's long been an assumption that Wonder Woman never sold very well, but there was some kind of secret deal that if DC ever ceased publishing Wonder Woman, the rights would revert back to the Marston heirs.
Oh.
And so they just kept publishing it, even though it was crap. And so they didn't, like, they just handed it to Bob Kaniger, and nobody cared if it made sense or anything.
Wow. I mean, Bob Kaniger can write a good comic.
War stories, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he can write, like, funny stuff, but Wonder Woman in the hands of Bob Kaniger is
bad.
Not...
It's bad news.
It's bad.
Plus, we need to just apologize up front to all people of Chinese descent.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And to any child of Chinese descent that happened to be reading comics in the 1960s, because...
I believe he says Sully at some point.
He does, yes.
Yeah. Full-on Sully.
It's not great stuff.
Yeah. So let's dive into this sexist, racist, xenophobic comic and have a little romp with Bob Kaniger's work.
I can't wait. The evil of Egfu the First is gone. But suddenly, the free world is menaced again by another diabolical force. And Wonder Woman, beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, stronger than Hercules, and swifter than Mercury. Well, there you have it, stronger than Hercules.
Oh.
Hercules could beat Superman.
Sure.
Is sent on a quest where destruction explodes mysteriously at every turn. Hatched by
the sinister scheme of Egfu the Fifth.
With Wonder Woman clanging her bracelets
clang,
together.
Clang, clang, clang with my bracelets.
Actually, it was when she fought Egfu the First. That was the issue where Bob Kaniger fired the entire supporting cast.
Really?
On panel. He wrote himself into the story, and he fired Wonder Girl, Wonder Tot, Wonder Queen. No, she was allowed to stay, but she went from blonde back to brunette. Merman, Merboy, Birdman, Birdboy, who were boyfriends of Wonder Woman and Wonder Girl, and the Glop, who was also Wonder Girl's boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
We didn't see it. It was before Checkered passed, but you have to take my word for it.
Okay.
So Wonder Woman's only chance to save the world
is by dancing her way out of this trap with Egfu the Fifth. Let's see how this develops.
What's that musical? Disaster, the musical where someone has to tap dance SOS on the sinking ship?
Is that true?
It is.
Did we see it at the old opera
house? Did. that was a great show.
It was. Okay, so.
At a top-level meeting at military intelligence, General Darnell is dead serious.
Gentlemen, you all know why Wonder Woman is the only civilian at this meeting. Because she is the only one in the world who can help us with our mystery.
And the only woman in the room, I might add, General. So an atomic-powered sub, which, of course, is one of the world's greatest deterrents to any aggressor who wants to attack the United States, has gone missing.
Yeah.
The Sea Sprite is its name. It vanished without a trace in the Pacific at Sector V-31L-22.
Was this
sunk my atomic submarine.
Was this a tragedy of the sea or an enemy action? We must know. And this is where Wonder Woman is uniquely equipped to help us. So this surprised me, this next panel.
Yeah.
I thought they would talk some more. So they say, this is where Wonder Woman is uniquely equipped to help us. Boom.
Off she goes.
She goes, I'll leave in my robot plane, of course.
And Steve would like a leave of absence to help her, sir. I wonder, is this not part of his mission statement? Like, why would he need a leave of absence to actually go do his job?
Because Bob Kaniger wrote this.
Also, I would argue that Aquaman is maybe more uniquely equipped to help them, but...
Thank you. This would have been a great little team-up for Aquaman and Wonder Woman, yeah. So shortly, the celebrated couple flashes across the Pacific in the Amazon plane.
And so you see how sleek that Amazon jet is?
Yeah.
That looks like a 70s Amazon jet.
This could be a very dangerous trip, Steve.
You frighten me. Maybe you'd better hold my hand.
Maybe I'd better hold both of them, so you can keep your mind on the mission.
He is mashing her in the cockpit of her damn airplane.
Yeah, yeah. This the unmitigated gall of this bastard.
My invisible jet, I bought it. She should tell him off.
Below them, look at the freighter in the vicinity where the sub vanished.
Well, they're going to buzz this freighter so they could see what's going on. They hover over the strange ship, and the ship starts firing. What do they call it?
Shells.
At them.
Mm-hmm.
Flak.
Instantly, as the plane starts to spin down. The only way to save this plane from a fatal crash is to what?
Only one way to save the plane from a fatal crash.
Is for her to jump out on the wings and start playing bullets and bracelets.
Yes, the plane is in a nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
She jumps out, wing walks vertically.
She's amazing. She's a wonder.
Upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And horizontally is actually the word I meant to say before when I said vertically. And plays bullets and bracelets with missiles.
Yes.
I did appreciate that she's actually getting to do something.
Yeah, I mean, she does have some mighty feats in this issue. She causes the mysterious ship's own flak to ricochet back at it.
Yes. Plane stops spinning. She brings it in for a landing on the ship. She has the plane hover over the ship, and now it's Steve's job to go in and investigate.
Steve, do you see what I see?
Exactly. Nothing, Angel. Nothing. Not a soul. And yet, we were fired on.
Steve, where are you going?
Stay there, beautiful. I'll check out the ship. This is my department.
Well, don't shop too long, Steve. Shop? He said. She said shop. Shop,
but she said shop in quotation marks. So yeah. It's like he's, you know,
yeah,
going into the Dick's Sporting Goods or something. Yeah. She had to sit outside.
And as the moments go by, not a sound from Steve since he left. Not a call or even a pistol shot. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Like it. Steve, 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 where are you?
She's very anxious now as she goes below to find Steve. And now he's missing too, just like the sub, just like the crew from the ship. And as she returns to the deck,
the plane is going without her.
It's flying off without her.
She says, come back here. But return, return. Because apparently the voice activated plane. And it doesn't.
And actually it's, we've seen her command it with mental telepathy before, haven't we?
I don't know.
That's usually how she calls a robot plane.
Well, she says it's always responded to the sound of my voice.
Right.
What impossible things are going on?
So she has to dive off the ship, catch the plane. The plane dives under the ocean.
Mm.
She is drawn along with it. Now, you notice she's not wearing any kind of breathing apparatus, supporting my esoteric knowledge that her earrings allow her to breathe in space and underwater.
Well, I hope so, because she's about to get into a fight with these guys. Now, listen.
Yes.
She says here in this little series of panels on this page, yeah, the underwater fight. She goes to the underwater, under the water, the mighty Amazon sees frogmen, uh-huh, right? So she's holding onto the plane. She's fighting these guys. She hurls herself underwater at the invaders.
Yep.
She says, she thinks, she doesn't say out loud, this mystery is getting deeper, if I may be allowed a watery pun. Well, yes, you may, because it's in your mind. No one cares. It's in your mind.
Maybe she's schizophrenic. Maybe she's got another personality in there.
Oh, poor witch.
Well, we'll talk about that in the second story.
Okay.
But she makes quick work of these frogmen.
Well, then she's attacked by an octopus. And yes, she says, this reminds me, this octopus reminds me of my darling Steve.
It's an octopus that is mauling her. Well, so yes, it would remind you of Steve.
I wish
his hands off you.
Yeah, I wish Bob Kaniger had said instead, this octopus has more hands than Steve.
Oh, see, that would have been good.
That would have been good, yeah.
Or more hands than Steve on a Friday night.
Right, that's, something, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, it's enough that she said it reminds her of her darling Steve, but there was a more acerbic line she could have thrown into here.
I just wish she wouldn't have said darling.
Yeah.
This octopus reminds me of that fucking Steve.
Exactly. It makes her seem just like an idiot. You know, like, yes, like a plucky dame. She's more than that. She's a god, for God's sake.
We have been spoiled by Gail Godot. Oh. I know, it's not Gail. Don't write me letters.
Don't write letters.
In fact, we've even, well, I don't know if Linda Carter, she's lovely and wonderful, but I don't know if that spoiled us.
The other morning, I was getting ready for work, and yes, I was doom scrolling on my phone, and uh-huh, I saw this wonderful little clip of her spinning around, yes, into an outfit, and I, yes, said, and I just said, that's me today,
did getting you
ready
do it?
For work.
Did you spin?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Did you get dizzy then and fall over? That always happened to me.
Oh, I have to, I have to be careful. I can't spin like she does, yeah.
Remember the episode when she was tied in an office chair because someone had taken Diana Prince prisoner and she couldn't get her arms free, and so she just spun the office chair around,
oh,
and turned her into Wonder Woman?
No, I don't.
That was awesome. And remember when she would just keep going and then just have a wetsuit?
She'd have a wetsuit on. The
rollerblading outfit.
And my God.
Oh,
wouldn't you like to go roller skating?
I would like to go roller skating in exactly one situation.
What?
Which is the roller derby episode of Chips, when they announce all the stars.
What, Ruth Buzzy?
Ruth Buzzy, everybody. Melissa Gilbert's on the ice. Nancy Culp.
On the rink. It wasn't ice skating. It was,
oh, right, in the rink, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Wonder Woman uses the octopus for a novel means. She ties up all the frogmen in mm-hmm. octopus arms. And they can all have fun while she keeps going after her Amazon plane.
She says, shades of Pluto, which I love the reference to Pluto in the underworld.
Sure.
My plane's heading straight for a vast seashell, gigantic enough to swallow ships whole without hiccuping.
For visual reference, for one listener in particular, this looks like the Aqua Cave that she's flying into. Here comes Junebug.
She squeezed her through the door. Junebug went and had her annual visit yesterday.
Yes, she did. And she's got to drop a few pounds.
Yes.
Like we have her daddy.
I carefully weighed out her food. No, I didn't weigh out. It's like there was one grain over this morning.
Good. By Neptune's trident, this giant seashell is really a submarine pen, and mm-hmm. there's the missing sub berthed near that other strange experimental-looking sub. It's drawing the plane toward it by creating a vacuum.
Vacuum.
It probably captured our sub by similar means.
In her fascination, the Amazon is unaware that she has been detected by another hostile frogman who, with a treacherous blow, he thunks her in the neck, and here we get our first Asian slur. He says, so Solly.
Solly. S-O-L-L-Y. No, he doesn't say that. He thinks it.
Oh, he thinks. Oh.
Which means that he's not thinking in his native language. He's actually thinking
in English.
In English caricature of Chinese language.
Yeah. So when the Amazon comes to, she finds herself aboard the strange sub faced by a familiar figure.
Egg Fu.
A giant egg with a mustache. With a prehensile mustache.
Yes, a giant egg. For some reason, I thought Egg Fu was more like the top of its head was egg-shaped, but the bottom was flat, so he could like sit on the floor.
Yeah.
But no, this is actually an egg like a Weeble.
Mm-hmm.
He wobbles, but he doesn't fall down.
No. So she says, Egg Fu, I thought you had been destroyed. He goes, the Honorable Egg Fu the First was destroyed by you, Wonder Woman, but not before other Egg Fus had been hatched. I am Egg Fu the Fifth. My frogmen snatched your comrade from the ship whose fire I control automatically from here. That's how I fired on your plane when it was obviously investigating.
Dr. Husband?
Yes? Yeah, recognize your hand?
He's not hatched. He's still an egg. Did he mean other eggs had been laid? In which case, what's laying these eggs?
Oh, yeah. What gigantic thing is laying these eggs? And how does he get around?
He wobbles like a Weeble. He wobbles, but he doesn't fall down.
Okay.
I bet it's a giant Chinese dragon is laying the eggs of Egg Fu. Oh, what a story idea.
Yeah, you have a great imagination, because all I could think of was a giant chicken that could talk.
Well, chickens and dragons are genetically related, obviously.
Obviously.
So, do we have any bad language? Yes, I thought we had some.
I was purposefully not doing a bad Japanese or whatever accent. Or
that's good. You don't Chinese need to. Accent. We've got, you can, if you've never seen a picture of Egg Fu, I'll put it on social media, but it's just every characteristic Chinese thing you can imagine, including the buck teeth and squinty eyes.
100%. Yeah.
Well, Egg Fu is going to, now that he knows this works, he's going to create more vacuum suction devices and capture the entire U.S. submarine fleet.
Steve leaps into action and says, I'll crack you first in the scheme you're hatching.
Now, that's some good pun work.
That's nice.
Stop the Yankee fool, my frogman.
Under the sheer weight of numbers, the gallant Steve falls. So these guys pile on top of him.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, it was the Yankee who was clacked.
Not Egg Fu.
Now, we didn't mention that Wonder Woman has been bound by her own lasso of truth, which means she's compelled to obey whoever's holding the lasso.
Because she was knocked unconscious.
Yes. In this case, that would be Egg Fu, who is holding the lasso with his prehensile mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And her only chance is to trick Egg Fu by using the womanly wiles of Aphrodite against his inhuman evil.
She says, I know when I'm beaten, Egg Fu, and as is custom among the Amazons, I'd like to dance to the victor, you, Egg Fu the Fifth. Lots of commas in there to say that correctly.
As long as I hold the lasso, you are powerless, Wonder Woman, but you're smart to join us. Your country will soon be in ruins with the rest of the free world.
He says lest of
the free world, yeah.
But the mighty Amazon clashes her bracelets together with such a force that...
Clank, 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 whip my bracelets. Now I'm dancing for you.
So he says, stop, the vibrations are cracking me wide open. So she kills him.
She does kill him.
She kills him. And this is my question.
Yes?
What's inside? It looks like it's just a hollow shell.
Just a hollow shell. There's nothing.
There's nothing. There's no kimchi inside. There's no tiny little man.
Well, kimchi is famously not Chinese.
Oh, you're right. Korean. It's Korean. Okay.
Did your mother ever make egg foo young?
Make?
Yeah.
Never. No, well, I'm wrong. I just remembered something.
What?
We would make Chinese food at home, but it was always Chungking, the store brand Chinese food.
Oh, yes.
And it was always, my mom would get a steak, like a little pepper steak, like a lean flank steak,
yeah.
And cut it and do the pepper steak. And then we'd I love those little kits. Those Chinese food kits. Do you remember that?
No, we never had a kit. We had just whatever crap was left over in the fridge.
Your mom
and
made.
She'd chop it up and pour an egg over it, and then she'd make brown gravy. Sauce.
Yeah, your mom. I remember your mother would do that, and it was actually really good. It wasn't just crap, but
it was. Yeah. It was delicious.
Your mother never made anything bad.
It's not authentically Chinese. I don't believe.
Of course not. She was such a good cook.
Yes.
Do you remember what she always asked me? She would always ask me what I wanted to have on my birthday.
Yes.
And I always said the same thing.
Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread. Because your mother made the best beans and cornbread and kale ever.
I'm no slouch myself.
You know, it's funny because your father was very kind to me.
Yes.
But he also believed that you and I would both find the right girl someday.
Yes, yes.
And as he said, on his deathbed.
Week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But your mother was different. She accepted us just as we were.
Yes.
Yeah, she's called me her other son.
Yes. Yes.
But she was such a good cook. I miss her sometimes.
Well.
Yeah.
We all do.
Of course. Okay. So, freed by the shattered egg foo, she says, the dance is over. Let's get out of here before the rush starts. We'll make our own exit. And she crashes through, I don't know what.
Let's not ignore the fact that she just snatches Steve up by his collar.
Right.
And flops him out of there like a rag doll.
She should. I'd say there's a little bit of passive acceptance going on by her. She lets him do a lot of the stuff that he does to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
So, she plops him in the plane. He's got to head for the surface.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds her that there is a submarine with a crew still alive that mm-hmm. she needs to rescue. And so she gets her lasso out. She's dragging the sub up.
She's
and then,
pulling the sub up. She is swimming and pulling the sub up. Yep.
Then one of Egg Foo's men launches a torpedo.
Right. And she does bullets and bracelets
bullets
once
and
again.
Bracelets. Hola! That's her battle cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the torpedo goes back into the enemy base
and destroys
explodes.
It.
She's killed again.
She's killed all those people.
She's a murderess.
Yes. Which is just a little strange because going against the comics code, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She murdered Egg Foo, the fifth.
Well, and that can be, you know, he clearly was not a human being. He was some kind of possessed egg.
Right. And his crew.
His crew are definitely dead.
Definitely dead. They are dead also. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. What did you tell me last night about Siri?
On iOS 17 coming later this fall, you'll be able to make your own Siri voice.
Can you believe that, folks? You can do, I'm going to do a character voice.
Sure, who was not?
And you have a script that you read, right?
Yes.
And then from that, it creates your own Siri voice,
yeah.
Which is brilliant.
Amazing.
I love it. Okay, so the enemy's own torpedo boomerangs into and kaboom, and it's gone.
Yes.
The explosion gives the sub crew a chance to fight back at its captors, and...
they are back in service, Wonder Woman, thanks to you.
Now, what's she doing? Is she like a mermaid there?
That
she's just walking
wonderful.
On water?
Just, yes, it's like SeaWorld, and she's Shamu.
Yeah.
She's bursting out of the sea.
Yeah.
Like... Venus herself.
Mm-hmm. Later, together with Steve in the plane, the jet.
But who's going to protect me from you, handsome?
No one, beautiful. No one.
Gross.
She's smiling. So I would say, considering that she could literally break Steve in half.
I wish she would.
She likes some of this attention, you know, in Bob Kaniger's world.
I guess.
Yeah.
Now, you know what she needs?
What?
To decide what type of girl she is. Let's run down the choices.
Okay.
There's a classicist. This chick is crazy about good books and flips over deep conversations on almost any subject. She adores clarity and loves bright colors. Guys admire her honesty and her fast wit. She's most comfortable lounging around in slacks, but loves to really dress up for an evening out. So she has like bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
That tracks.
She can talk about nearly anything.
Yes. I've never seen her. Well, she doesn't lounge in slacks. That's her working uniform.
She doesn't lounge.
Okay, that's choice number one. Optimist. An optimist is welcome in any crowd. She's a real nut when it comes to having fun, and everyone adores her for it. But sometimes she is unexpectedly serious. Her friends respect her for her sound advice. She dresses absolutely nutty in stretch pants, bulky sweaters, big floppy hats, and loads of way-out jewelry. In her serious moments, she curls up with travel books and dreams of taking all sorts of wonderful trips around the world.
That's not...
No, she can take any trip she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Naturalist. Mm-hmm. Sports are the keynote to this chick's personality, although watching them gives her just as much fun as playing them. She loves all kinds of animals and sometimes walks off by herself for an afternoon in the park or woods. Her friendship is highly valued, and her boyfriend can always come to her when he has a problem. She dreams a lot about trips to the moon and loves to watch the stars on a beautiful evening. She dresses in suede and leather and flips for tweeds and tailored clothes. And finally, the romanticist. She's strictly an old-fashioned chick with lots of hip advice. She loves acting, plays, and movies. She finds dinners by candlelight and soft music absolutely groovy. Reading really sends her. She's always feminine, even in dungarees and a sloppy shirt. She's pretty, even with just a touch of makeup. Boys like her warm, vibrant personality.
So you're trying to peg her down into one of these categories?
Yep.
She's a naturalist slash... classicist.
All right.
Yeah.
I can go for that. My grandmother had a childhood friend, Reen.
Mm-hmm. Is that short for Doreen?
No, I think that was just her name, Reen. I mean, it would have been pronounced Renee if she were not from Northwestern Ohio, but mm-hmm. she pronounced it Reen.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to visit my grandmother one time, and it was the first time I'd ever seen an old woman wear pants.
Really?
She had these long, flowy slacks on, and she just... got on the couch and curled her legs up underneath of her and talked about art and literature and things.
Wow.
Wow, it was amazing. She was born in 1902, so it was really amazing. Coming from a town where my grandmother was arrested for wearing pants.
Wasn't your grandmother kept in a drawer?
Great-grandmother, she was a twin. The twin was born dead, and my great-grandmother weighed a pound and a half. This was in 1856 when Lincoln was president.
My God.
And they kept her in a shoebox in a drawer.
My God.
Wouldn't have to wear doll clothes.
Oh.
Imagine. Wow. And born during a blizzard. Did I say that?
No.
Yes.
It's amazing she lived.
I know.
Well, let's talk about the second story.
A second sensational story. Wonder Woman is under attack by the cheetah. One of her arch nemeses from the Golden Age. Wonder Woman, beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, stronger than Hercules, and swifter than Mercury, is faced with a dilemma.
She does all in her power not to change into Wonder Woman, but to try to win Steve Trevor as Diana Prince. But fate wills otherwise. In the surprise story of the century,
Once a Wonder Woman. Ellipsis, ellipsis.
Exclamation point.
Now... Mm-hmm. At the office of Lieutenant Diana Prince at Military Intelligence. Steve barges in. I'm sure he didn't knock. To say, you are luckier than I am, Diana. You're Wonder Woman's best friend. She probably lets you in on all her little secrets. How about asking her to reveal to you the secret that's been keeping me awake nights?
Here it comes. The blow I've been expecting for so long. That Steve has guessed my dual identity as Lieutenant Diana Prince and Wonder Woman. I'm glad in a way. It's been a strain.
But, to Diana's chagrin, what Steve whispers in her ear is, I'd be grateful to you for the rest of my life if you would find out from Wonder Woman when she'll marry me and let you be her maid of honor.
I'll do my best, Steve.
Fuck you, Steve.
Fuck you. And by the way, she's got cat's eye glasses.
Yes, she does, so you know it's the 60s.
It's the 60s. Which actually wasn't a military issue. Like, they didn't just go out and buy civvy glasses when in the military.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they had standard issue glasses.
Now, here's where we see the root of her problem is her own damn self. Mm-hmm. Because if he really loved me, he'd love me both as Wonder Woman and Diana Prince. What he? But you're not going to tell him that you are that.
Right.
So stop it.
Okay, cool.
Now, she does assume that it's the Amazon uniform that attracts him, probably, since mm-hmm. it's barely anything.
Shows her a shocking amount of shoulders.
As my mother would have said, she's about to lose a lung. Now, she decides she's just not going to turn into Wonder Woman, and she's going to force Steve to change his mind about Diana Prince.
Well, from her window, she sees Thunderbolts of Jove, a runaway truck heading for baby carriages.
So there's some kind of little city park in the middle of a four-way intersection.
Right, which is okay. That's
normal in the mm-hmm. city, but this truck is speeding down. There's not a traffic light in sight mm-mm. or a policeman.
No, and there's no barrier around the park.
No. It's just right there where any truck can come barreling down the road and plow into the baby carriages that are there in the middle of the park.
Being attended by two nurses. Two nurses.
White dress, starch hat nurses. Yeah. You know the type. Mm-hmm. Now, so she leaps out the window, changing into her Wonder Woman uniform. She calls her plane.
Thank you. Thank you, because I was going to say something about this, but I thought, oh, surely he won't want to hear this.
Go on.
This bitch is looking out her window. She sees this truck barreling down, right?
Like, she literally could jump from the window to the truck. Yeah.
She leaps out the window, immediately changing, doing a speed change, leaps from her window onto the wing of her jet that's been, I guess, just hanging out above the building, because that's how much time there would have been, and then jumps from the jet to the truck, which is was within jumping distance anyway.
But also, first she commands the jet to reverse direction at maximum speed.
Makes no sense at all. No. Yeah.
This is like if someone, say, had a job that consisted of taking what someone said and being the middleman to transmit that information to another person mm-hmm. instead of just the first person just telling the second person directly.
I get you. I get you. Yeah. So she jumps.
That's my job, by the way.
She flies into this truck. I mean, yep. She flies into yep. this truck. She says, the brakes must have loosened, but if the wheels had been cramped to the curb, the truck wouldn't have slipped away. It took me a second. I read that a couple times going, what is she talking about? And then I realized, okay, so the truck, the brakes must have loosened or broken.
Right, right, right.
And the truck went from its parked position on an incline down the hill
yep.
and was going to go right into these two nurses and the two babies in their carriages. Right. But she tries to pull the brake, and the brake doesn't hold. So she plunges her heels through the floor of the
truck
and uses her amazing Wonder Woman's boots made of special Amazon material act as a brake.
Now, it's not exactly like Fred Flintstone, because she is digging her stiletto heels uh-huh. into the roadway.
But she does, indeed.
And it does it.
Stops the van. Yeah. And the huge truck is not only halted just in time, but the nurses can't see who is behind
right.
the wheel.
And which gives Wonder Woman time to change back to Diana Prince, making it appear as if Diana Prince is the one who
stopped
the truck. Wait till we tell everyone you performed this marvelous feat, Lieutenant Prince. Yes, I know you. You're Wonder Woman's friend. She'll be proud of you.
So I guess the two nurses never noticed that Wonder Woman appeared out of the window of the building, jumped onto her jet. The jet screeched into reverse direction. Wonder Woman leapt into the van. The van was stopped, and Diana Prince came out.
Well, to be fair, they also didn't notice a van barreling down the street towards their baby carriages that they're being paid to look after.
Yeah.
Maybe it's lunch hour and they're drinking
Probably smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, look at this. News of Diana's feat reaches military headquarters and she's promoted to captain.
This is weird. He says, your promotion has been long overdue, Captain Prince. Congratulations. So, I guess this feat of heroism
yes.
is what prompted them to pay attention to her record, because one doesn't get promoted to captain from lieutenant simply by rescuing a baby.
Right.
Right.
Well, he says it's been long overdue, so maybe they have been looking at her record and just not promoting her because she's a woman.
Yes, there. So she says she thinks now, Steve is bound to look at me differently. I'm not only a lowly lieutenant anymore after all these years. Maybe I'll even become a rival of myself as Wonder Woman. Come on, is she crazy? She might be crazy.
Now, the only military ranking I know comes from Star Trek. So surely she can't go directly from lieutenant to captain. She must have been a lieutenant commander and then going to captain.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I do know that rankings and officer rankings vary from force to force. They aren't the same across. There are different grades and such in the different branches of the military. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of the weird warriors will tell us.
Okay, surely. Good. But the Amazon's lure is too strong. Steve says, now Wonder Woman is sure to listen to you about me with more respect, now that you've performed an Amazon deed of service to the people in distress.
Well, okay, she's dedicated her career to military intelligence, but I guess that's not good enough unless you stop a truck that's barreling down the road.
No, she has to do something heroic.
When you see her, you'll be sure to tell her how impatient I am about marrying her.
He says, don't forget, Captain. She says, I won't forget, Colonel.
I won't forget to make you pay for ignoring me as Diana Prince, even though I am a captain.
And then she stares straight at us and goes, but how? Well, let's find out.
Later that evening, Steve offers to drive Diana home because he wants to to tell her what to tell Wonder Woman about me.
She says, no thanks. I want some fresh air. I'll walk. Goodbye. Later. Hand over your money, lady.
Oh, this is a big mistake. But before she can use her Amazon training to defeat these hoods...
In comes Steve. Yeah. I've been following...
following you to see that you got home safely to talk to... that you got home safely. Stand aside. I'll roll back these hoods.
So
this is a great line. The only thing that'll roll is your cabbage head for rushing in, smarty pants.
So we'll go a couple pages over.
Yes.
And
part two, Wonder Woman and Once a Wonder Woman. The three thugs turn on Steve, but he's going to do him some karate.
Wow, he sure does.
Learned in military intelligence.
Yeah.
Shoulder chop, an arm chop, a high kick, and these hoods are done for.
They've been KO'd. She says, Steve, you are simply wonderful. I couldn't have done better myself. Well, that's not true.
You're joking, of course, Diana, but you will tell Wonder Woman how deserving I am of her love, helping her best friend out of trouble. You know what to say.
And then she thinks a curse word.
She comics curses.
She what?
Comics
she comics curses.
Curses,
yeah.
Question mark, exclamation point, star. At symbol, exclamation point. That's a bad word.
Yeah, you know it is.
It's way more than four letters.
Yeah, so shortly after, she says...
poor thing.
I love this. I love this so much. She goes, I'm going to give myself a party and make Steve sit up and take notice of me. Hello, Evening Standard. This is Wonder Woman. I'm giving Diana Prince a costume party in honor of her captaincy, and I want all of her friends to come. Proceeds to go to charity.
This is the first time I recall having Diana Prince be referred to as Wonder Woman's friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Clark Kent all the time is like Clark Kent is Superman's friend, but I don't recall ever seeing this in print before.
It's an awfully thin line to walk for someone who's trying to remain, a secret. Right.
Of course, this is a big story. It hits all the papers.
And the guy says, I'd sure like to see the Amazon and her best friend together. I'm going to go.
I, too. And I'm going to bring money for charity.
Count me in. It's a great cause.
Even the teens excited about it.
Oh, boy.
Another interested reader is the cheetah.
Lucky for us, it's a costume ball. Nobody will notice us until we have robbed the charity money.
Now, Cheetah inexplicably has three henchmen with her who are wearing...
Monkey suits.
Gorilla costumes, with their human faces sticking out.
These
so
poor
that they
guys.
Can smoke. But the one is actually sitting like a
monkey.
Chimpanzee.
Yeah. sitting on his desk. The other guys are staying around, you know, with, and they all have guns and holsters.
Yes. But that one looks like Dick Sargent of Television's Bewitched.
He does. It's just weird. I would, and the, you know, they sweat in those costumes.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
Cheetah, you're a regular mastermind. Yeah, we're just a bunch of apes next to you. Meanwhile.
Well, she can't be all that fresh in that Vivian Westwood onesie cat suit.
Right, with that giant tail,
fur,
that
and
tail.
A fur hat.
Mm.
Now, look, Steve has accepted the party invitation. Of course I'll go to your party. It'll give me a chance to see my angel, Wonder Woman. Oh, he sounds sleazy.
Oh, she's thinking to herself, the party is for me, and I'll make sure Wonder Woman won't show up. Then maybe Steve will notice me for once without that Amazon around to attract all the attention. You mean your alter ego, your real person now?
Also, her and Steve are the only ones not in a costume at the costume ball. She could have worn a Wonder Woman costume, just kept the glasses on.
Well, then the Wonder Woman would have had all of his attention and not Diana.
Okay, well, she could have dressed like Black Canary or Supergirl.
Or the Cheetah.
Or Martian Manhunter. That'd be a look.
Right. Isn't it wonderful, Steve? People are contributing a fortune to charity. Now, what to do to... What do you think of...
Of Wonder Woman? It's a great idea. Just the thing that she would think of. Oh, God, you... Fuck you, Steve.
She's so mad. Oh, it's no use. I give up. I can't compete with Wonder Woman. Yes, you can't compete with yourself. You're both amazing people.
Yes.
He never thinks of anything else. I might as well change into the Amazon in private. At that moment.
Also, she's not... Billy Batson and Captain Marvel. She doesn't actually change into a different person. She is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well...
Just tell him who you are and go on your date.
This is what comes from being raised on an island full of women with no men around.
Yes, you
know, she gets thrown into American society and she doesn't know how to act.
Right.
She forgets how strong and powerful she is. This woman can write her own destiny. She is a god.
She's made out of clay, for Christ's sake.
Oh, doesn't this just... Yes, this is not feigned anger. This is real anger here. So, at that moment, relax, everyone. We are doing the collecting for charity.
It's Cheetah and the Ape Boys, and everyone thinks they're just there in costume. What a wonderful gag.
But... Diana knows something's going on. Suffering Sappho, it's the Cheetah. This is a real robbery, and everyone thinks it's part of the party. All this time I wanted Steve to like me as Diana Prince. Now I've got to change and get rid of him so I can change into Wonder Woman.
Can we pause a moment and look at the other costumes?
Yeah, a giant
There's
bunny.
A creepy clown.
Uh-huh.
With weird legs.
Mm-hmm.
A giant bunny, yes. A medieval woman with one of those... pointy hat scarf things.
Mm-hmm. And a bird.
And
a bird person.
A bird person. Like it looks like a peep. Like if someone put human legs on the bottom of a peep.
I love that. Where do they, how do they eat?
Well, you see him throwing money in the thing at the top panel, so.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. So.
Then, Steve and Diana decide they might as well dance.
Right, the party's being robbed, we might as well dance. Well, because everybody thinks it's a gag. It's part of the party.
Right, right, right.
Right.
So they shout out to the Batusi. And if you've seen the Batusi, listener, that's exactly what they're doing. Except, of course, they don't have capes. They have their military-issued jackets. They are flapping their jackets out behind them like... Well, I do that when I pass gas in public.
Okay.
And I got to get rid of it right away.
Okay.
Is that the Batusi? Is that where it comes from?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, just then, the real collectors for the charity arrive and realize that Cheetah and the chimpanzees are robbing the place.
Yes. And they scream, these are thieves.
Yes.
Pretty harsh words at a party buster, but true. Stick them up very high, everyone. And all you'll lose is money.
But luckily, Diana starts dancing so fast and spinning like a dervish that she blows all of the people away to safety,
and
away from the cheetah's guns. and simultaneously changes into Wonder Woman.
So what she does is what we see Linda Carter doing on television.
Yes.
So anyone watching...
There's no starburst. She's actually physically having to change clothes.
So anyone with a brain and eyes would know exactly what just happened.
No, because she's going so fast. Because they've all been blown out of the center of the floor by her mighty...
Yeah, Diana Prance did that, though.
Yes.
Diana Prance did that, not Prance.
Yeah.
Diana Prance.
So Wonder Woman is here. She charges at the Cheetah Gang. They fire weapons. Of course, that doesn't work. She just plays bullets and bracelets, and she ricochets a bullet up to the chandelier.
Knocks a crystal chandelier down on top of the criminals.
Yep. Down they go. Cheetah is captured by the lasso. The monkey boys are trapped underneath the chandelier, probably killed. But and their bags of money are secured and taken to charity.
Indeed.
Later... Steve grabs the Amazon without asking, no consent. Even though I'm still reeling, I only have eyes for you, Wonder Woman. What happened to Diana?
Wonder Woman is still vexed at the inevitable. And she thinks, shall I tell him?
Yes.
And that's how it ends.
Yes, you shall tell him.
Yeah,
you should.
Yes, just tell him.
Jeez, this girl.
Mm.
Well, she needs a new boyfriend. It doesn't have to be a superpowered boyfriend. She could have just a normal guy that realizes that she has her own life and agency, and he can go up about his military business, and she can go on about hers.
Yeah.
And then get together on Saturday night, Netflix, and chill.
Well, how'd you think of the issue went?
Well, I did like the first story mostly because she got to do a lot of stuff that made Steve look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But this second story.
Yeah.
Just who's he writing for?
I don't know. She's far too precious the way that he sees her, the way that the writer sees her.
Yeah.
She's too precious. She is fierce. And maybe this is because it's, you know, the 2020s and we're reading something.
Well, we are spoiled, yes. And also we're
60s.
Intelligent people that don't minimize the contributions of women. But this is Robert Kaniger, who also writes Metal Men, and you know how he treats poor Tina.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, he does the same thing with her. Yeah. So there you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. All the social medias. I can't even name them all anymore, but we're there. You can...
I'm not.
He's not. It's me that you're interacting with. That's fine. You don't want him to get involved.
I'm boring, really.
You can... No.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from, and you can find us right back here next week.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. Anything else?
Doesn't look like we're going to get any rain this week.
Good.
I don't remember it ever being this dry.
Well, the earth is burning up, so we'll probably never have any rain again, which means we won't have to mow the grass. So,
go great.
Glass half full.
Bye.
Bye.